Hi, guys, and welcome to Keep Hope Alive podcast. Boy, do we have a great show for you today. I have Miss Cherie Beckman with us, and she is a certified spiritual healer, also medium, and she helps with trauma healing. It is very awesome. So, I mean, a lot of people need that these days, especially when trauma is talked about. That is the hardest one to work on yourself when you've been through trauma. And trying to get that. So I'm so excited to have you talk to us about it. And guys, I think we're going to have fun in this podcast because you know what? She has questions for me too. So you're going to get to know me today a little bit more as well. So you got two podcasters having fun on the show. But before we get started, I got a question for you. Out of the past 15 years, how many weddings have you been to?
It's a seriously difficult question because you're making me use that part of my brain that goes so far in the past to start filling in the, and I have to think about how long I've been married. So yes, I'm extending the answer to this, giving myself more time to really think about it. But right now, only two is coming to mind.
Okay, so two. Okay. Now, if you were a guest, let's say you're going to your friend's wedding and you're going to a church ceremony, when you walk through the doors, usually there is something there that people will sign. What is that they're signing?
That's a guest book.
Yay!
I had one too.
And they changed it so many times. One of our biggest sponsors here at Keep Hope Alive is lifeonrecord.com. And what they do, instead of having that book there, they do a rotary vintage phone. So your guests are coming up and it was so cute. I wish I had one here with me, but it's like gold and black. Sorry, guys. And you pick it up and you leave your message. You can leave 1 minute, 5 minute, 30 minute, but if it's a wedding, don't do 30 minutes. Congratulations. I'm wishing you many years of happiness. Or maybe the groomsman takes it and says, dude, it's about time you put a ring on her finger, you know? So you're collecting all of these voices, which is amazing. And right next to the phone, they will have a QR code in case your guests want to take out their mobile device and scan that and do it from their own phone. They can leave a message before or after the event. So once all these voice messages are collected, they will either burn it on a 12-inch vinyl record, and their album is so cute. It will have your name and everything. They customize it. Or you can get a keepsake speaker, and I call it the little boombox. So I just kind of like think back in my head, okay, it's almost 1 year anniversary. What am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to sit on the couch with a glass of wine, have some cheese, just then listen to my friends and family talk to us, you know, and have fun with it, you know, and get some giggles out of it. So, but you get to keep not the phone, but the phone number for 1 year, and their plans start at $99. Now, this just does not have to be for weddings strictly. You can use it for any event. And I know I used it when there was an accident at my son's football game. One of the kids broke his legs. So we had the kids call in and wish get better. So, I mean, anniversaries, reunions, even funerals. Yes, funerals. It is great to use it to hear people's voices. So definitely check them out at www.lifeonrecord.com. So, all right. So I guess, you know, I always start my podcast, like, I'm going to be like, oh, well, like, who is Cherie? But you know what? Who is me too? So I will have fun, but let's get started with you and you can ask me questions along the side too.
Oh, perfect. So. I'm really excited for this. And I'm supposing you're asking me who I am now.
Yes.
Okay. That's a long story, but to keep it short on the show, you know, just like you said, I'm a certified spiritual healer and I'm a medium, but I'm also so much more than that. And that's, you know, I have this title about healing medium. I have my own podcast called About Healing Podcast also, but I am also so much more than that. It's been a journey that brought me to where I am today and what I do. You know, I specialize in trauma healing, but that also comes from a background. I also have a degree in human services. I have a background in social work. So when I really embraced this part of myself, I knew and put intention that it was going to come from the best place of healing, because what I teach and what I talk about through my podcast and with my clients and everything else, it's truly about promoting self-empowerment, but it's also about me doing the work for myself. So I am an expert in healing and in trauma because I am also one that has gone through it and have been doing the healing work, the extremely hard, the extremely difficult, the really deep and layers over years of work. And that's how I get to talk about it. And that's why I do what I do.
Yeah. That is awesome. And I love it because it's a calling and not many people understand that. Like, what made you get into podcasts? Well, I had a calling. People requested it. I didn't know if I could. And one day I magically opened my eyes and my story behind, I listened to somebody. And one day, boom, he helped with the dream that I've been having to help people in the world be heard. You know, it's one of those good stories. But like, even at church, I heard, you know, don't run away. You know, my health went really down this month and I had to take time for myself to go get a surgery and go through recovery and all this stuff. So, but putting that aside, you know, I went back to church and like, if you got a calling, don't run away from it. You keep going with it. I was like, okay, I'm getting back on. You know, I was like, yes. I can do it. It's what makes me happy. And like people, I think when we're podcasters, my family, for sure. Well, how much money did you make from it? Mm-hmm. It's not about the money. Mm-mm. It's just not about that. It's about getting to know people and spreading the word through the world. Well, why are you wasting time with that? I'm not wasting time with that. Mm-hmm. Nobody understands. If I say it's God's work coming through me, that's mm-hmm. all you need to know. I am giving up my time to do something good in the world. So.
Yeah. I hear you. I agree 100%. And it's one thing that I've called this is all my purposeful work. And the podcast is included. And that's the thing. I will continue to keep doing the podcast while I have this drive. There's nothing in me that tells me like to stop. Like, I'm going to keep going. Yeah. Nadine, how long have you been doing your podcast?
Since April of last year.
Okay.
And surprisingly, I think it was towards the end, I hit 174 interviews I did. And I was like, what? Like, yes, I was overworking myself, but at the same time, it was like, I've helped a lot of people. And mm-hmm. that made me feel really good. And, you know, when it comes down to it, a lot of people go, well, how many people are actually listening to your podcast? And what I want to say is, I don't care.
Right.
They listen. It is everywhere. I am not going to sit there and stare at my stats and make it a mm-hmm. number game and be like, oh, I have a million listeners. No, I don't mm-hmm. know like who is listening. I can see what countries, what mm-hmm. states in the United States, what those numbers are if I wanted to. But I will have people actually come to me and go, I watched this episode and this episode and this. I was like, wow. And it's great to hear that. Doesn't it make you feel good? And that's the only reward, you know. And I think, you know, when we do the podcast, yes, we have the source to push it out. But you as the guest also need to push it out also because mm-hmm. you know all these other people too. So mm-hmm. you can sit back and watch the numbers fluctuate. I do that with my TikTok. Who's hitting in the 200s versus 3 watches, 4 watches? Mm-hmm. Why is that happening? You know, so I don't know. I talked to a lady who knows aliens on my show and her numbers. Everybody likes aliens.
Uh-huh. It's intriguing. So, yes.
Exactly. So it's just depending on what subject we get, you know, mm-hmm. to talk about will determine how well a podcast will do. And I mean, as a whole show, all the shows are great. And mm-hmm. I try to make them that way, make them very fun, educational, ask the questions that maybe people might be scared to ask that I'm mm-hmm. trying to draw up in the guts to ask. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, how long have you been doing yours?
My first episode premiered on 2/22 of 22.
Nice.
So I'm in my fourth season right now. So yes.
Now, how many episodes are in a season?
Well, for me, I do around, it's like 20 to 22. Like for me, it's a timing. I do about two seasons a year. I take little breaks in between because, you know, I'm a mom too, and I have family. So yeah. I like to take that downtime. So I take like a 6 weeks off during the summer. And then I also take 6 weeks off during the holidays. So
gotcha.
With
gotcha.
A podcast, because there's a lot in a podcast. Mine's weekly, and that's a lot of rollout. And I have a producer helping me. So I don't know how you're doing it.
Oh. I do everything. I can't hire somebody. I want somebody to help be a producer too, but they have to be willing to do it free. I mean, I'm doing it free, but so far it's been me. And you know, it is a full-time job. It really is.
I just was blessed because one of my very, very, very good friends, she has been in podcasting for over a decade and had a very successful podcast for a while. And when I told her that I called her on her birthday one day and I told her that I'm thinking about doing one. Do you have any tips for me? And by the end of the conversation, she's like, look, I don't want to overstep, but I would love to help you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I will take any assistance whatsoever. So she's been on this whole journey with me this whole time. And she does all the technical side of things. And I don't know if I could do it without her.
You can. You've got to have that faith and believe in yourself. Like I said, it is extra work.
Right.
And I even got to a point like, you know, internship. Can I teach somebody who's going to college everything I know too? I'm a photographer, so they can also help me get jobs in that industry, and I would give them payment from a portion of what I'd be making. So I never followed through, and this is the reason why. Nadine, you have somebody helping you, but are you going to feel like you have to follow them and make sure you did? They did your work correct. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's more work for yourself, Nadine. I was like, okay. So it's a part of my brain. I got to let it go and believe it can happen. So, you know, there was a day out of the week, I would go onto the Facebook pages, podcast guest needed, but it was so overwhelming. And the perfectionist in me, it comes through the intake form that we have, like for our website, but I like to have a hard copy and make sure all my notes are perfect. You know, if they wrote a book, let me get that link, open it, see who they are, put it in my folder and ready to go. So when I'm putting it together, it's just a little bit easier. And that's a perfectionist in me. Am I creating more work? Possibly. But, you know, still at the same time, I am more organized to know what my intake is, you know? Right. So, I'm probably stubborn.
It's okay. It's growth. And it's how we're learning and giving and taking. And it's all part of the process. And I think that's wonderful and beautiful that you are able to do that all. With my podcast, the podcast is just one small piece of what I do. And so that's what I mean. Like having her is a godsend because I have clients, I have one-on-one clients, I run workshops, I do live events. And right now, actually, I'm preparing and it's huge. I have manifested this massive dream of mine. And I feel really emotional right now. Sorry, because I'm a week away from it. I'm a week away from its birth. And so I'm doing About Healing Retreat. This is this really big, beautiful event that I am holding in Grand Rapids. And it's, a lot of energy, a lot of beauty and speakers and this whole beautiful luxury wellness event for the healers and caretakers in our community. From like parents, teachers, social workers, you know, other healers, like kind of what I do, doesn't matter. And I think what is interesting or beautiful, and the reason why is, you know, and you brought this up, Nadine, when you're talking about all the work that you're doing, it's that we get so caught up And I think a lot of us do. We get so caught up in the day-to-day duties where, yes, you know, it's just going and going, and we have our quotas, but not only just with work, and then you have your home life. And if you have children, it's, you know, what are we making for dinner tonight? And I need to go get groceries, and I've got these appointments. It's life balance, right? But
yeah.
But we as human beings, and defined, and here's what I'm always promoting. I'm promoting not just surviving our life, but thriving. And the key to, yes, thriving is finding balance. And so it is taking a moment. It's a conscious moment, and taking a deep breath, and then investing time, energy, sometimes money, whatever it is, into bringing yourself back. Because, yeah, how can you take care of others? How can you be at your best if you are running on an empty tank, if you're at zero? Because then, because I know, because I'm one of them too, and the majority of my clients are all these other beautiful, sensitive, beautiful beings that are also healers in their own right, that it's, but I need to take care of others. That's just what I do. But how can you take care of others and give them your best if you are at nothing, you're at zero, and you're barely even putting it together, and you feel yourself, and I always say that if you feel yourself stressing out or blowing up at the smallest, most ridiculous things ever, like your spouse or your partner says this one thing and it's ridiculous, something insanely small, but you blow up in it just like, whoa, check yourself for a moment, because now, yeah, you're reacting to something because you are on burnout mode now.
I think that is very true. When I first started, but I'm always in and out of the hospital for different things. One of the nurses knows I have a podcast, and she goes, "Nadine, did you ever think of it being all the energy you're taking in? Do you have your borders lined up?" And I go, "Yes, my borders are lined up." And I thought about it, maybe I need another one, because that is important. Yes. Being empathic and taking energy, mm-hmm, like, and understanding somebody else's problems cannot be mine. It doesn't need to be a stress that's mine in my life. It shouldn't hurt me in my body. You know, you have to learn to balance that. And once you do, it's like, you know, I have a good handle on it now. It's like, I had a great show. You know, when, mm-hmm, Troy comes in, you know, I had a great show. I learned ABCD about this person. The show is amazing. I can't wait for it to come out. So, but, you know, I think there was one episode I did that I didn't guard myself too well. And it didn't make me sick or anything. I was just scared. Martha Decker, I believe is her name. In Mineral Wells, Texas, there is a haunted house out there next, mm-hmm, to a very haunted hospital. But she was ex-officer and stuff like that, and paranormal person. So she tells us about her stay in that house. And I was literally, she was doing it from a trailer, and it was a back window. And I was like, oh my gosh, I kept thinking, is something going to come in the back window and go, you know, I was just waiting for it. I'm listening and doing the interview, but that was the one that got my heart beating the most. But, you know, so did you ever do a podcast that stood out for you? Like I mentioned, ghost stories and aliens.
It's really funny. So a lot of my podcast is me. I talk about, again, healing in general, and, yeah, doing different topics. And if I look back, and I do have some guests too, I have guests come on that fit into, I have, like, the whole season has a topic for itself. And so I squeeze everything in there. And actually some of the most, I look back today and I receive messages and emails, and that's what makes me keep going. Just as you said,
yes,
you get those emails saying, oh my goodness, this episode, oh my goodness, this episode. And it makes people not feel alone. And that's the most. But, yes, my most powerful ones have been ones where I have been extremely vulnerable in telling my journey or what I'm going through in the moment. And if I go back, I have heard many people, it's the self-love episode where I talk about that and really understanding what that means. And you are worthy. That's a really big one also. but also the most popular ones too, that people like to, because again, I'm also a medium. So I have signs and synchronicities that for people to understand what it's like when their loved ones are trying to give them signs, yes. What it actually looks like, and what it's like for our loved ones to transition. So that's transition to light. So I have a couple of those episodes there, but I get really deep in those deep healing topics. So, and then we kind of get fun too. I've got guided meditations. Those are really fun. I've got a whole series of them. And yes.
Nice. But
I want to go back actually to that story real quick, because you're telling me this story and you're talking about being an empath. So I'm also very empathic.
You're reading me, aren't you?
Not necessarily. No, I don't read without permission. I absolutely don't read without permission. However,
you read. I will let you read with permission if you want. I would love to know what's going on in my world.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to allow myself if it comes. But you were talking about being an empath. So I am a very big empath. I identify myself as an empath. I actually run a workshop helping people understand what it means to be an empath. How do you protect yourself? How do we do that? And so you were talking about that episode, but right before you got into that episode, you were talking about how draining and your experience in your physical body. So it's interesting. So I have a couple of questions here in a second in regards to that. But I also want to bring this up just in case maybe some listeners don't understand what that means, just so we're all on the same level.
So
people understand what an empath is. An empath is someone who can, it's feeling the energy from other people around you, not just the energy, but it's the emotions. It's not just being aware of the emotions. It's almost sometimes as feeling it as your own. So we take it on, and sometimes we have no idea. All of a sudden, we're doing just fine. We're happy about our day, and something changes. All of a sudden, you're angry for no reason, and you have no idea where this is coming from. It's like, why do I feel like I want to punch a wall? Well, lo and behold, you may have walked into a room, or someone walked into your space near you and was probably already there feeling that feeling, and you're taking it on as your own. This is interesting. It's not a scary thing, but it can be very overwhelming. And most empaths, when the unaware empath, it's really hard. And they have a very difficult time because, again, it can manifest into health issues. It can kind of just take over your life to the point where you don't like going out to social events because it's very overwhelming being around a lot of people because you're feeling so much at once. So
I'll still go. I changed my ways. It used to be no big crowds, but you know what? If this is my gift, God, you know, I remember going into karaoke. There was one man sitting at the bar. His energy was way too hard. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to have a good time. I went over there and I was not drinking. I go, I don't know who you are, but did you respond? Because your energy is weighing me down. How'd you know? But I think it was like a girlfriend breakup. And I go, let's talk about it. And it made him feel better. You know, helping somebody I don't know is great. So very true. You take
and
it.
Go ahead. I do love that you mentioned that, because most empaths, they believe that this, you know, I call it capability, not ability. Ability makes it seem like but that we're special and only some of us have these. Yeah. And I don't even call my mediumship an ability, because I believe it's all a capability, because every single one of us has this capability to tap into. It is practice. It is filtering. I mean, it's just, again, you want to play basketball, you need to learn how to do it. You need practice, right? Okay. So my point is, thank you for saying that, because I believe being empathic is a superpower if you understand it and know how to use it. Because like you did, you used it to, you have this awareness and you were able to sit down and talk to somebody. Now, not everybody knows exactly how they're feeling, and not everybody will be open to someone checking and tapping in like that. However, now here's the big question. Do you protect yourself? Or is there anything that you do to help yourself with this empathic side?
I have put on to observe a little bit more.
Okay.
So when I found out, yes, I can feel their vibe, but before I walk over, I have to take care of me. Is there something with them that may be a little bit disturbing. So like, yes, it could be like, what if they had a gun with them too? Like, do I really want to go talk to them? You know, maybe they're having a huge, huge issue, or maybe they're drinking way too much and also getting sloppy. I will not go over there because anything can happen. So those are kind of things. I've had more people be drawn to me. Like, I feel like I've known you for a long time. Probably have, you know,
another sign.
But there are different borders. If the, you know, I can tell you the last one, he was like this, hand over the head, like he wasn't going to do anything to harm. There was no way I could feel that energy. And I just wanted to be open. There was another case. It was an older man, like in his 70s. How do I hit on a woman? And I was like, what? He's like, do I offer her a bubble bath the first time I talk to her? And I go, no. I was like, you do not do that. Like, I go, times have changed. You can't just give anybody a bubble bath.
Right.
He's like, darn it. That's all I want to do. And I was like, he goes, are you free? I go, never. Nope. Not happening. You know, I was just like, but I go, there's a right way and a wrong way to talk to people. If you would like to hear those options, I'd be happy to help you. That's how I kind of open up, you know, and talk to people. But the other times, like I said, usually sometimes it flips. There is one time this happened, and I don't know why. I'll share this story. My hands were always getting warm and hot, but through the same trial, I learned of my spiritual gift of why maybe they were getting warm. So I don't know why. It was end zone in Plano, karaoke. There was a gentleman, even previous bar for karaoke. He's an acquaintance. He's not like a best friend, but like for that night, whatever reason, I had to get out of my chair and I said, I'll be right back. And I have never done this. I don't know why I've been scared to do it. I shouldn't have a fear of it, but I walked up to him. I go, I know we've only talked a few times, but I need to pray for you. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah, is that okay? And he goes, yeah. And I just held both of his hands and prayed for this older gentleman. I don't know what's going on in his life. Watch over him. It was this beautiful prayer. And he had tears coming out. And he goes, wow. And he goes, well, thank you. And then it was like 3 weeks later, he was back in there. And I happened to go that week. And he goes, I don't know what you did, but these doctors found something wrong in my blood work. But now they have an answer ever since that prayer, and they were able to help me and save me. And hearing that, oh my goodness, it made me feel so good. Like, wow, like this was not something I usually do, but something was calling me to do it. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, I understand it completely.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I don't think, I mean, everybody could have a capability of medium, you know, I don't think I do. However, you know, I grew up with epilepsy, and most of my seizures, I'm able to jump out of my body and witness my body and come back into my body. Therefore, I feel like, is there another dimension? Oh, heck yeah. I'll be the first to say that there is, you know. My last big seizure, I was able, I feel like I was at God's door, but I named it my kids, their full names, and said, I'm not ready. I want to be with both of them. And I got thrown back into my body. So it's just something we don't talk about every day, right? Like maybe people will believe it or maybe they don't, but I'm at a point, I don't care. It really did happen, you know? So. This is it. So,
and who's to say it doesn't? You had a personal experience that brought you there. And I think this is what's interesting, because I want to go back to this whole empath thing in a second, because there's something I want to teach you. But I want to piggyback on what you just said there, because This is one of the things too, when I'm definitely talking about, I always promote self-empowerment. And a part of that is finding your own truths, because we get stuck or put into these big old comfort zones, these boxes, right? And this is how we're brought up. And is that there are certain things we talk about, certain things we don't talk about. And when we go outside the box, we're really afraid of that judgment, or we've been taught we don't talk about that because, you know, X, Y, Z will happen, or people will look at you funny, or we've seen other people have these experiences. So we take it, oh, well, that's what's going to happen to me. But finding your most authentic self and finding that peace and that balance within yourself to get yourself to thrive is about going in and finding your own truths. There are no two truths that exist exactly the same within mankind that ever existed, because not even all of mankind believe the earth is round. And that's a true statement in itself. So when it comes to religion, when it comes to all these different beliefs, it's having this respect that we all have these different, you know, knowings, these different truths, and it comes from experience. It comes from tapping into our inner knowledge and having that space and feeling, having that self-awareness and that self-acceptance is all a big part of it. So I think it's beautiful that you're willing to talk about it. And that was your experience. And that's amazing. Just like me, I have a different perspective and a different experience because of what I see and what I have felt and what has, you know, been validated through clients and what has happened over and over again. So for me, I have no doubt. But you also, you know, other people may be listening to this saying, oh, this is a crock. Like, that doesn't exist. Like, oh my goodness. And you know what? You have every right to believe that because that is within your experience. The thing is like, let's get to this place where we can respect each other's differences and respect each other's beliefs, because we are not meant to all believe the same thing. Exactly. And it's all like, believe what I believe and do what I do. No, let's express ourselves. And I think this is the beautiful part of having these podcasts, that we can express these, we have these places where we can express what we believe and our truths. And then the people can, who are attracted to that or need to hear it or know that they're not alone, they have a place to listen. Yes. And what I am hearing from yours, which I think is great, is that you are so open and you have all of these different, you know, people on and all these different topics. And that's amazing. You're a one-stop shop for people to go and learn all about all different things, you know? Yeah. And I think it is very amazing. So I want to go back a second, because the reason why I asked you that question about how do you protect yourself, I just wanted to see if you were aware or if you do anything to protect your energy. And if you're okay, I'd like to teach you a technique and teach others out there who are listening, who are also an empath and don't know the unaware empath, or those who don't know how to protect their energy. And Nadine, whether you practice this or not, I just know from my experience and those who have practiced this, it is something that is, I feel that could do really well for you in releasing that energy from your body.
Mm-hmm.
It is called grounding. Have you ever heard grounding before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this doesn't have to be a big process. I actually have a whole episode on this. I have a guided meditation that takes people through it. But the gist of it is, for anybody out there, and honestly, this is, I like to teach something called earthing. This is actually scientifically proven to actually help your physical body. This is, I mean, doctor, science, the whole thing. So I am not out there cuckoo in this, okay, everybody? But it doesn't matter because I do it anyway, and I love it because it helps my energy space as well. Because I teach people, when you begin to understand this, is every day, if you are sensitive and you're an empath and you're around a lot of people and you feel yourself affected and you don't know how to control it, because again, I teach other techniques on how to control that also, but this is your first step. Go outside. If it's nice enough, okay, weather's good. I'm in Michigan. We only get nice weather part of the year, but I want you to go outside barefoot and I want you to go stand on natural ground, whether you're standing on rocks or dirt or grass, whatever it may be, go walk or stand there. Yeah. You stand there and with intention, it's standing, closing your eyes, and just imagine now that you are growing roots out of your feet. Imagine the bottom of your feet. So you have roots growing out and it grows into the earth and it spreads out and it goes really deep. And then I would say, focus on your breath. I want you to take a deep breath in. And with every breath you take in, imagine now from the top of your head, with every exhale, you are pushing energy down your body. And you can see your energy. You can see it as a color. Some people like to see it as like a fog. You know, I see it as a fog, or I see it as white, you know, this white cloud, however it is. Yeah. It's always great when you use that. And we push it with every breath small breath, bring it down and pushing again. What you're doing is you're trying to collect heaviness, forward energy. Again, that stuff you've collected from being around other people, because you can feel it and it kind of sticks to you for a while. And you know it's still sticking to you because you can still feel the after effects. One of the biggest side effects of being a very sensitive empath is anxiety. Because yes, you were feeling and overwhelmed, right, with so much. And then it comes into a form of anxiety. So we want to push it out towards your feet and you want to see it just sink into the ground. The one thing about this energy, heavy energy, negative energy, I'm not talking about haunting stuff. I'm not talking about any of that. I am talking about just energy from people to people, our own, is we want to push that the really hard stuff out. It's like skimming the top and getting rid of the things that don't need to be within our body and pushing it into the ground, because it becomes fertilizer. Mother Earth takes it as fertilizer and, you know, and turns it into something amazing. So, you know, if you
that ever explains when I die, I want to be a tree. I told my kids that, and you can be a tree. So have you seen their websites? I was like, I want to be a cherry blossom tree. And my son goes, well, I'm going to be the bird and I'm going to sit on the tree. And I was like, just do not poop on me. I was like, you know, you never know in this world. And I wrote down a, you know, just a will in case on paper. I was like, there's this website. I want to be this. I want to be planet there. But going back to grounding, I did grounding. I took my socks, shoes off, and I just stood at my favorite park and just let it go. Feel the earth. Oh my gosh, it felt so good. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I've only done it once though. And it tells me I probably need to do it more often. So, because when we take in energies, it's every year we're taking in new energies. We got to let them go.
Right. And I would always recommend anybody who knows they're an empath or feels they're an empath, you should be doing this every day. So the only thing is, so that was the earthing part of it. So that is going outside. I like to teach people to begin how to do it outside because it's so powerful when you do it that way. You can really feel the effects and the softness kind of come over you. But you absolutely do not have to take that long or go outside because, I mean, for me, I can do that just sitting in my chair. I did it right before we got on today to start speaking for this recording. I sat here for a moment. I grounded myself and I do the same thing. And once you do it more often, you kind of get in the routine of it. It doesn't have to be a 10-minute ordeal, but you can just take a couple of minutes because it's something, again, like before and after my clients, I do the same thing. Number one, I'm tapping in and I'm really getting in there and I need to be able to leave it because that is part of my personal boundaries and how I keep myself healthy. I keep myself stabilized and I'm not always on all the time because I have I'm a mama. I have a life. There's a lot of things going on. I can't be on all the time. And that's another piece of control that you can put in it too. But it's
definitely
a lot of work. Yes.
It is. And you know, I'm a mom too. And then my oldest, she's 22. She's having a baby. And so I'm trying to, I want to be called Gigi, I think, not grandma. But I'm excited. And I felt like it was a girl. I kept having a little girl in my dreams tugging my shirt, but she kept calling me grandma. Grandma, I want to go here. You know, it's just like, oh, and I told my daughter, you're having a girl. No, I'm having a boy. I was like, no, really, you're having a girl. And she's having a girl.
So, well, congratulations. I'm so excited for you.
I can't wait. Ooh. Yeah. So I can't wait just to hold a baby again and know, you know what? This is my grandbaby and she goes home with her mom. You know, like it's different. They say for grandparents because you know the kids going back home with the parents.
Exactly. So you need to do all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about if you got enough greens in their system for the day or anything else. You just feed them all the goodies and be like, well, that's for mom and dad to figure out now.
Let them have the sugar high. I totally get it. So
exactly.
But definitely. I know we're about mid-break really quick. I just wanted to ask you a quick question. Have you ever heard of these bracelets? They're called snap bands. They're
my first.
Your first?
It's my first, honestly. I don't know.
I'm hardly on. I was like, you know about it?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to quickly tell you about them. Snap bands, you know, with the world right now is a stressful place for everyone with work, school, relationships, health issues, finances, the nightly news. There's anxiety every day. So negative thoughts can keep popping into our head over and over again. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of anyone loving me. Bad things always happen to me. If you ever have these types of thoughts, you're not alone. More than 40 million Americans are diagnosed with anxiety disorder. Anxieties, worries, and fears can stop you from finding your inner peace and achieving your true potential. You deserve to live your best life. Finally, there's an amazing new bracelet called Snap Bands that was invented to help you reduce anxiety, control OCD, and calm stress. So Snap Bands are cognitive behavioral therapy tool based on proven brain neuroscience. And the way Snap Bands works is amazing. So Snap Bands bracelets look like a stylish piece of jewelry on your wrist, but its unique design actually hides a secret elastic band that sits right on your inner wrist, which is a pressure point for your brain's nervous system. When you give the elastic a little tug, you feel a very gentle, soft vibration on your inner wrist. A gentle physical sensation is all you need to reduce anxiety, and here's why. Did you know that the human brain can only deal with one emergency at a time? Well, whenever you feel that unwanted negative thought in your head, gently snap the elastic on your inner wrist. It forces your brain to focus on a gentle physical sensation you feel, which instantly disrupts an unwanted negative thought from your brain. This gives you the freedom to reset your mind with a positive mental focus. And the mantra word on your Snap Bands bracelet helps you refocus and reset. So I have hope and I have faith. Now, Faith is brand new. If you go onto their website and you want one that says Faith, their promo code is KHA. Keep hope alive. Then they'll give you faith. Yeah. So right now they have 7 different mantra words. Faith is 8 with the promo, but they have believe, blessing, dream, fearless, hope, love, peace. And then of course, faith. So when you are doing this, you can say like, I believe in myself. I am a blessing. I am fearless. I will always have hope. And the one time, like every time I'm in the hospital, they're like, we need to get blood work. That's their famous line with me. I'm like, I'm a hard stick. Usually it turns out for lessons for paramedics, you know, oh, we need an ultrasound. Oh, come here, watch. We can't find a vein anywhere. And I'm like 5 or 6 pokes in. So I'm always praying for them, but I've started using mine to kind of be like, I'm going to pray over them. I have faith and hope they are going to do this and everything correctly. So yes, these bracelets will help with mental health. And I want to add PTSD in there because I know I have medical PTSD. It helps me with that as well. Now, they all come in different colors. You know, I call the corporate ones the gray, the brown, the black, the white. And then we have fun colors like hot pink, red, blue, green, yellow. The list goes on. So with every purchase of a Snap Band, they give a portion to a mental health organization. So when you go onto their website at www.snapbands.com. And Snap Bands is actually spelled SnapBands.com. You can choose yours and what color, and they'll send it right out to you. And they have this cute little message and everything. So I want your homework today is to go check them out. Of course, they're on Facebook all the time. I see them all the time, but I love mine. 2.5 months. Hey, they work. Vegan leather, no allergies to it. My skin is fine. And they can get wet So let's go swimming. Let's go take a shower. Let's go do the dishes. So check them out. All right, let's get back and jump into where we were. So
I like the snap bands. I think that's fantastic, especially the affirmations associated with it. Yeah. Only because I love it brings me into, again, part of that healing work that I do. Because it is about going in and reprogramming ourselves. And I think this is one of the yes. hardest part that most of us, you know, go through is the inner critic. We have yes. this inner critic inside and we are our own worst enemy. And that is probably one of the hardest, but yet the most profound difference that changes so much within our mental health.
Yes.
Because somehow along the line, you know, that we've collected from our childhood, usually it always begins in childhood, our childhood trauma, the things, our false beliefs, the things that we have learned, the experiences we've been around, we collect all of this data from experiences, from judgments and being around other people. And then we become really harsh with ourselves.
Exactly.
That inner self-talk can be really, really negative. And here's the thing, like the world is already going to be doing that and throwing us down and having these experiences in life. So why not take a moment and really think about how you think? It's really being in a moment. And if you bring awareness there, let's say in the next 24 hours, you want to bring awareness and you want to find out how you really think, those inner monologue that goes. You may already know, because I feel like some of them out there are like, I already know, I'm really hard on myself. But some are like, no, I'm really good to myself. But take real awareness and find yourself throughout a day and see, like, when you get frustrated, what kind of thoughts come in your mind, and like stop yourself and really hear that. And that's why I think like that's really good. Maybe I'm really promoting snap bands. Maybe I need to get them on my podcast too.
You should.
For me, it's always about stopping yourself and taking that moment and like stopping that thought and replacing it with something else.
Yeah.
Instead of telling you you can't or you're an idiot or whatever it is, those automated pieces that we've put into our thought process, let's learn. This is how I end every single episode of mine. It is my slogan. This is my words that I put together. I guess there's so much meaning behind it, is be kind to yourself.
Yes.
Because it's funny, we talk about how do we bring peace on earth? That's never going to happen. Not within our lifetime, no. But the only way we get to a better and peaceful place and how we heal our world. And again, we talk about so much negativity in the world and everything that's happening. You and me, every single person individually right now, you are the key to that. And it's not sitting there and waiting and yelling at the TV or the news or wondering why this person, judging someone else's actions because they're going through their own lessons, and their own lessons is for someone else to figure out. But what can you do right now? And that is starting with being kind to yourself, being kinder to yourself and doing the inner work of healing. That's showing and now creating an inspiration for others around you, because no matter how small or little of work you do, it makes a massive change. It's a ripple effect, because your family and everyone around you, they're going to see it. They're going to see, again, just a happier or a more courageous, or again, just someone being able to stand in their power, being more confident. And that's, I don't know about you, but for me, that's the type of legacy I want to start leaving behind. That's what I want to show my kids.
Yes.
Right? I don't want to teach them to live in stress and anxiety and we have to be go, go, go 100%. And, you know, we need to stress over studying. And if you don't get straight A's, you know, this and this is going to happen. But again, like I said before, that thriving piece is about balance. We need to find the balance between, again, our daily activities, but also the joy, our true joy, not what people perceive that it should look like.
I know.
Or us. Our,
yes. You know, nobody can make that decision for us at all.
No.
And don't ever, when somebody's doing a work, a piece of God's work, don't bring it down in front of them. That is the biggest thing I want people to hear is like, that's just, you know, I always have said, well, I'm not going to stop And that's my mechanism. We're not going to talk about this. It's just off the table. You know, it's like if you were to go to church and you wanted to decide to give up time to be an usher or a greeter or help out in the parking lot, you're doing something right for church. Well, I'm just doing it here at home and, you know, really going forward. And it's my own way of helping spread, you know, the word and being heard and stuff. So, and hearing everybody's story. So it's just very different. So, but yeah, oh my gosh, you're amazing. Yeah. You're good at what you do. And I love how you're analyzing this down to a T.
I appreciate you. Thank you. But I wanted to go back because everything you just said, I have more to say because I felt it was really important. I felt when you were talking about that, about judgments, right? It was about like, we're really afraid of judgments and we're afraid to step out of that comfort zone because of how other people are going to feel. And so this is, to me, when I truly understood this, it was the most powerful piece because I lived my life by in that comfort zone of being afraid of being judged. It was a massive fear of my own between that and the feeling of not being worthy. And this is a massive journey. But the one thing about judgment I want everybody to know is that a judgment is only but a reflection of one's own fear. So the person giving the judgment, it's their fear. They're projecting. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And once you come to that understanding that it actually has nothing to do about you, even though they say your name and they say, oh, I can't believe you do this. You should be doing better than that. Whoa, whoa. Mm-hmm. And it's also about having the self-awareness. Can you be self-aware enough to catch yourself and your judgments? Because for me, that was really big. Because when I started healing myself and trying to really take my power back and not being afraid and limiting myself and what I'm capable of because of the fear of judgment of others, while I really learned and watched and was able to separate now and see other people's stuff separately, okay, they're projecting their things, I had to do the same thing for myself. So I had to go in and I had to start realizing. And so, but for me, this is a great tool because it's a great tool how it is okay, first of all, because we are perfectly imperfect.
Yeah.
Perfection does not exist. It absolutely does not exist in any way, shape, or form. So if you are one who's a perfectionist and seeking that and working at it harder and harder, there is a reason why you have to work so hard for it because it's not natural, because perfection doesn't exist. Because we, again, like I said, we're a balance. We're a balance of good and bad. We're a balance of, you know, just of light and darkness, of all of those things. We're both. And when we come into a place of accepting that, and then we look at it, it's like, okay, but that's who that's what makes you who you are. And it's our experiences that make us who we are. And that's why, again, that's why the biggest part of my work is understanding trauma. It's understanding that even the worst things that happen to us, where our trauma is stemmed from, that if we can find the lesson in it, can we find the lesson? And then how do we channel that pain and how do we process it? That's where my specialty comes in. That's what I help people with individually. That's what I do with my clients individually. But
do you use that word a lot? I have to use it a lot, like around my boyfriend and my child, my children. I feel like mommy needs to process.
Oh,
meaning don't talk. Let me process. So
that's healthy. That's called a boundary, right? Healthy boundaries. I have a series on boundaries, on creating boundaries in my season 2. Yes, season 2. I have a 3-part series on creating boundaries. Again, if you're sensitive, it's always the hardest as an empath to create boundaries. It's a lifesaver also for empaths if you can create that. But it's a process and it's a learning curve and it's a practice. Because people who are sensitive, we have a harder time doing that because we just want to give, we just want to take care of. And it's more like, well, if I just take care of them, I can handle it. Thing is, no, we can't. Yeah. We just take it on and then we die out. We burn out. Right. So I think that's beautiful. Having that boundary of saying, I need a process, and knowing how you are And then having those words to do it is fantastic because you don't have to give an answer right away. And that's one thing a lot of people, I don't know about you, but that's me. It's definitely with me. When someone asks me something, it's like, I have to give them the answer right away. and then I'm always trying to meet expectations. So I feel your expectations. Again, for me, I'm a sensitive. I'm tapping in. I know what your expectations are. Oh, but that's another thing. Expectations. That's none of your business what somebody else's expectation is, first of all, because that's on somebody else's platform trying to reach another level of perfection. And that does not meet in mine. That takes me out of balance. So it's okay to say no, which is beautiful. I don't want to take words away from one of my speakers at my retreat this weekend. She's a host of another podcast, but she's her whole like teaching experience is how do we say no when we feel obligated to say yes. And in case that intrigues you, I don't want to take her thunder here. This is Charity Youngblood. She is the host of Life's Lessons and Questions. So you can go there. Another podcast.
That's really cool. Yeah. I would like to connect with her. That's awesome.
Oh, I will totally send her your way. She's fantastic. You. She's fantastic. So fantastic. I asked her to be a speaker at my retreat. So, yay. Yeah. So, you know, be careful with that and those expectations in wanting to say no or wanting to take a minute to process. I have to process. I'm with you. Like I have to process everything, big things, especially when I have an emotional trigger, when I have a moment when there's something really big that I have to produce or create. I need processing time.
Yes. Ugh. Yes. So that is the one thing I had to learn, you know, not only for me, but when like you decide, okay, I'm going to move in with my boyfriend, like I did, I not only, you know, I don't want to say worried, but I'm learning me still, my trigger points, where my boundaries are, what I will say, when I will say it. How often do I want to talk about one issue? Those are the things that go through my head. But I've learned to be more open in communication. It's like, I hear you. Mm-hmm. I do understand we need to talk about this. I'm still in the process of working this out and coming up with an agenda how to make it better. So like I've learned to use my words a little bit more clearly and, you know, hey, I'm trying. It says I'm here. I'm focused. Don't worry. Things are going to be okay, you know, but it's just different. You know, I think, you know, you're taking on other people's energy as well. And then like having kids, it's like, my son plays football. Mom, I got to be here. I got, you know, practice. I got tournaments and it may go into Sunday. But like, hey, mommy has a photo shoot on Sunday. Yeah. I didn't know. Well, if we went on Saturday, we're going to be here. And I'm like, in my head, I'm just like, well, I'm still going to divide my time up and do what's best for the family, you know? So, but you're having all those different scenarios. You've got to take care of you when it comes to learning about who you are. So the one thing, I don't know if you ever noticed, I'm a social butterfly. I like meeting new people. I've tried to date introvert. It just does not work. I don't know why. They can be the nicest people in the world. And I was like, can I reprogram me to make this work? But the answer is like, no, this is your boundaries talking and you got to listen. It's like, listen to your gut. When there's something wrong, you talk about it. It's the same thing in relationships. If you are unable to even get communication across, it's not a healthy relationship. So.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. All of a sudden I was hit and processing and I'm like, keep going. I was in it too. No, I loved that because you're right. And again, for you to have that self-awareness, you know, going, when you were talking about, you know, knowing that you needed time to be able to talk about a certain topic or, I think this is great, especially it before arguments happen, right? Knowing those triggers, yeah. those really big triggers. And remember, and I think it's great because you said it's changing, you're figuring it out. But that's the thing, is that it's always changing. Because especially if you're self-aware and you're doing the work, when I say doing the work, you are trying to work through it and you're trying to work past it. So yeah. it's not as big of a trigger and it's coming back down. That's an episode that's coming up this season.
We're going to have to jump on and watch.
Right. It's coming up. I have one coming that's just about triggers. We're going to be going into Mental Health Month in May. It's going to be a really
yes,
good one.
But, I know May is a big month. Yes. So yeah.
Yay.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be here so soon too. My brain is just like, okay, you know, and I was one in the event industry, you know, every day that, oh, it's taco day or it's, you know, have a pie day, whatever, you know, I used to use that, but I stopped. I'm just like, nope, I can't focus on that anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So back in the day when I was director of sales and marketing and, you know, trying to bring awareness to new companies, it was so fun. It was motivating for me. I loved it. Yeah. I loved meeting new people. That is who I am. Mm-hmm. But like when you go in podcast world, you're doing it. You're your own boss. You're setting mm-hmm. up your boundaries, your rules, you know? Mm-hmm. This is my style of how I interview. I'm going to tell you about it before we go on, you know, and you'll do the same thing with your clients because you want your clients to feel comfortable.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's funny because when we meet new people too, even before interviewing, it's like you kind of get that pre-screen feel like, what is it going to be like? I know mm-hmm. I do studying. Now, not for everybody will I jump into a whole YouTube session and watch because mm-hmm. I want it to be fun for me and get to know them for the first time. If I know a lot about them already, it might make me sound programmed. And mm-hmm. I am not programmed girl. I am empath girl.
Yes. cape,
who wants to come and learn who you are. So...
I
empath
love that.
Girl, your nickname.
I think that is amazing because that brings an authentic side of things. So you aren't sitting there doing all of that. And it's having an authentic conversation and getting to know yes. someone. And you are letting that unfold in the recording. That is beautiful and amazing.
It is. It is.
I love it.
You know, we'll get some people, and I'm sure you've seen this, the guests want you to ask these questions. I will do it that way.
Yeah.
However, like I still will like put a twist on it. I still want to have fun with it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it may be read their question, but ask them my question right after, you know, mm-hmm. to kind of balance that out. So, well, tell us more about it, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's dig in. Let's have fun.
We're going to compromise, know? Right? You're like, let's compromise.
Yeah, we have to.
See, I'm also with you on that. When I have a guest on, usually, again, I am always at the end going to promote them and whatever they're doing, but I like having yes. the conversation because I too, obviously, you know, I'm an empath too, I'm intuitive and I have all yes. of these, but I like the conversation to go where it's needed to go. And yes. I have never to this day had a guest come on or even for myself in my own episodes ever really talk about something that wasn't meant to. Yes. On my own, I can go run on and keep going on, like just kind of keep going when I needed to stop a little bit sooner. That's fine. Yes, that's happened. However, again, we get into the motion and we are feeding off of each other because who knew we'd get to this point where we are? We've been all over the board in this episode.
It's been fun though.
But I have found, again, through the experience and having listeners email me or message me in some way and tell me, I needed to hear that story because I believe yeah. what's coming out and what we're feeling intuitively into the conversation is there's someone out there listening saying, oh, I'm not alone. I needed to hear that. I didn't know that that was a thing, you know, or maybe someone didn't know what an empath was and they're like, wait, can that explain all this anxiety and how I feel? Yes, I don't like going into crowds and I feel... Gosh, you're not. That's the thing. We're not. You're not crazy. No one. Oh my gosh. I just.
We're not crazy.
We're not crazy. No, but it just That is part of another workshop I go through. And that's actually the first week. The title of the first week is You're Not Crazy, which is my awakening into your power. Have you ever heard of an awakening before?
Yeah. Okay. I'm awake.
Yeah.
I'm awake. Yeah.
I can tell.
I found out. Yeah. It was part of the park experience too.
Uh-huh.
Grounding. It didn't come at the same time. But you know how they say, you know, I had a friend say, you have spiritual gifts, but I can't tell you what it is. And I'm like, well, why would you even say that to me? But it took like 5 or 6 years after that. And it was, everybody does, but you just don't know when you're going to learn it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it. And it's not my job to explain it. I keep putting it in my head to people, but I became awake and it was like a new birth. That's what it felt like.
Yes.
Yeah. So my eyes are more wide open and I've learned things about me in the past where I was doing more wrong than right. I should have been a better listener than the one to do all the talking. Like, and I see that, and I see it in back in high school with my friends. And that's why I've said on a couple podcasts, I apologize. But like, I wish I was the better listener. And I feel that in this season of my life, I am the better listener. And it mm-hmm. has showed me the things that were I've missed out at a young age. And then also, I didn't have a 20s. I didn't have a teenage year. So in my 30s, I acted like I was a teenager. So mm-hmm. like I never went out and did karaoke and make new friends and sing and dance and have fun. You know, it was just things like that. So, but my two best friends, unfortunately, they have passed on. That one I met through Chronic Pain Association. Another one was karaoke, and he was an older gentleman. Mm-hmm. And he died in his 80s. But I still feel that, you know, they'll always be with me, encouraging me to move on and do what I do. Don't lose the hope. Don't lose the faith. My friend who just passed, we always talked about wanting to be heard. So I dedicate a lot of this podcast to our conversations we had. Like, why can doctors not hear us? Hello, we're not ghosts. Why are people bad drivers? I'm right here. Why are you cutting me off? You know, we always have something to yip about, and I miss that. And I just, you know, going through that grief cycle, especially last year, it's gotten easier because I've been able to incorporate her in my podcast. But, you know, just having people's stories heard. You know, mm-hmm. I think right now, and I'm going to say it because it's the truth, you know, if I can become a better listener, I think doctors need to also.
Here's the difference. You want to know what the difference is?
What?
Because you're awake, which means, and that's what I love, because you are self-aware. And that's part of the process. And it's part of, to me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's why the major difference between those, you're like, why don't they get it or anything else? It's because you are awake. You are self-aware. You are willing to take that accountability and responsibility and start working on it. Because again, we're imperfect. We all have pieces and we have to put that intention and practice in it.
You see, and what I liked about not the last hospital, but the hospital before, I had three doctors and they had to call another hospital to work with other doctors about my case. And out of the three doctors I had, I called them the morning time doctor, was always awake, empathy. He could tell me the truth. The other two, they were going by the book. Mm-hmm. And I said the day they were discharging me, because they couldn't do, they didn't do bariatric stuff at that hospital, but it was an emergency surgery. I need it. And what the other two doctors, like, we need to keep an eye on it every week. Well, I can't just leave work and go every week for you to do a scan. Like, go in there, fix me, like, is my thing. But I asked the doctor who was really nice to me, this is a weird question, but I just know, if I was your wife, what would you be telling me? Get the operation. Okay, done. You know, that's what I'm going to do. I had to learn to advocate for myself.
Yes.
But still, yes. Advocating, it doesn't end, guys. You know, I've came out of my surgery, but I still have the same problems. I've advocated. And they're like, all right, well, right now we don't know what else to do with you. Go to another hospital. And it's like, okay, we're going back to numbers and I got what I needed, but you know, it's not being heard. Our bodies tell us what's wrong. And my body has been telling me every day and showing me different things that, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not reading Google, but dude, like if I'm seeing it and I'm feeling it and I have the same symptoms of going in before the surgery, we got issues, like huge issues. So, but I have to leave it in God's hands right now and just kind of, I'm like, okay, refocus. I'm going to go back doing my podcast and doing this. But I am not going to lie. This morning, I had so much pain. And that pain makes you feel like you close it out and you close your shit out. And empaths will do that right away. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like when it comes to your health, if you do that too, because my pain will hurt. They had to do a revision of my whole bariatric bypass, and it was not done right. Long story short, they don't train you to go back to the way you eat and drink prior to getting the surgery. So that was back in 21. So it's like emergency surgery, you've got to go back to it. And your brain is like, we haven't done this in a long time. I think they need to start putting like a nutritionist there if it's an emergency surgery, give you paperwork, walk through the steps. Do maybe you want a counselor to talk to about this because it's the way it's changing. They did not offer that. They're just like protein shakes. Okay. Broth. Okay. Jello. Okay. But for how long, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just there has to be more awareness out there.
So there
I'll
is
be the first time that
you're right. And I love the fact that you are being an advocate for yourself, because that's a powerful movement, especially when it comes in the medical world. And actually, it takes me back here. I just remembered an episode. You want to talk about one of the most powerful episodes I've ever done? It actually was one of my, I think she was my first guest I ever had on. It was such a powerful one. And it's my season two. Her name is Kathy DeLackey, and she, I think I said that right. Oh my gosh, she's going to kill me if I get it wrong. But her story is so powerful. She was a client of mine who wanted to come on and talk. And normally I never talk about my clients or even who they are, but obviously she gave permission because she spoke about it on the podcast. So she, her story, she's like an, I guess a big number. 8-time cancer survivor.
Oh, wow.
It's huge. Like, and she too is just so many medical, you know, procedures and issues with doctors. Yeah. And she talks about those challenges. And then she talked about stopping for a minute because she did different routes during different phases of her illnesses. And she really, and the reason I had her on too is because she found another way and she wanted to talk to people that there are more ways, and you have to, it's tapping into your own intuition. What is it you yes. need? That it's okay to try something that's not traditional. And that's what she did. She had story. Oh my gosh, these stories were fantastic. And it was so, you were just absorbed. And at least I was absorbed in her episode.
Yeah.
She spoke about going out and seeing like a medicine man and these amazing, and the visions she saw and how powerful, like some of these things that truly did heal her in that moment. I mean, things came back later, but she did a different route, but she wasn't afraid of trying new things, but she just trusted herself. It wasn't just taking the advice from her medical doctors, which she did. She absolutely did, because she did, you know, certain yeah. routes, but then other times her body and her, just her instincts told her she had to do something different. So yeah. out of the box. And she did it. But that's why she talks about it. She's like, I just had to listen to myself. And each time, and yeah. it's brought her still to this day. It's like so many times that she's, she's like, and I don't say fighting, because it's not about fighting it. And, you know, for yeah. her and cancer, because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to fight the cancer, but you're fighting yourself. It's not about fighting it. It's
yeah.
how do you absorb it as part of yourself and then being able to release it, rather than the energy within yourself, literally eating at yourself. It's okay. First, have it, come to peace with it. And then let's, how do we release it? How do we come back? Right.
No, I think cancer patients, it gives them also, I've thought about this before, does it give them a time to reflect on who they are as a person and learning acceptance too? Mm-hmm. And then be willing to go through that process of the healing, and then it goes away. So they're finding newer things about them through that journey as well. My friend, she's gone through cancer and had a lot of stuff. I never knew she was a painter until after, like, she went through some of that stuff. But she's been on my podcast, and she is a sponsor. But her story is amazing. Naomi mm-hmm. Butler with Bridal Shows, Inc. So look it up on, I can't even tell you what season. I asked you about seasons because I put 10 episodes in a season and we're on season 16. So oh. I get thrown off going, okay, it just sounds like we're just climbing and climbing, but I only do 10. 10, 10, 10. So, right. Lucky little number and everything. But definitely, so looking back on our guests too, they have taught, there's stuff that I've talked to other mediums. And mm-hmm. I had a gentleman, he's not a medium, but he spoke to the archangels. Mm-hmm. And he knew a lot about me without mm-hmm. me saying anything. And I remember after I hit stop record, I was like, how'd you know A, B, C, D, E? Like, uh-huh. I was, wow, that was amazing to me. I was just like, how in the world did he pick up all this information? Even if I'm bottling it up inside of me, mm-hmm. you know, how did they know? So, but everybody's journey is different. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's one thing to be introvert or empath. I also want to throw this because it's very important because we're talking about awakenings, spiritual journeys, the good, the bad, the ugly will teach you. Not everybody will go through this, but if you happen to be one of those people, you're not alone. And I want you to know that. So I don't know if you ever witnessed that with any of your clients, but I just wanted to throw it there.
Thank you for saying that.
A strong person has to say it. It does happen. And people don't believe it happens. So
you're absolutely right. In fact, it's the book that I'm writing. I am actually an expert or becoming the expert on awakenings. And it's something I teach. So my whole second season is about awakenings and helping people understand what it's like in the journey and what you go through. That's why I have those beautiful stories about forgiveness and boundaries and all this, because it's all part of your process. You know, in case somebody is wondering what awakening is, I actually believe that there's two sides of it. You know, you have a spiritual awakening and then there is an awakening. And I only say that because for some people, it's like, oh, what do you mean spiritual awakening? I'm going to become a medium? No, that's in no way, shape, or form of what that means. It is, you know, an awakening is a moment where life, and when it starts to happen, you actually probably think you're going crazy because life doesn't make sense all of a sudden. Everything that did make sense one day is completely gone the next day. It is, wait a second. I don't understand, like, what is life about? What is happening? It is because what is happening is like inside internally, and you have no control over this. It's as if your soul side had planned this moment in your life when it was supposed to happen. And that's what I believe it is. There's this moment that you were supposed to come to this awakening, which is about turning the autopilot off internally inside. So we're turning autopilot off. And, you know, when it's on autopilot, we're living our life, doing it, you know, again, eat, sleep, work, we're going to graduate, you know, high school or whatever it is. And then we're going to find a job and we're going to find a mate and we're going to have kids. And then we just, again, this whole repeat process over and over again. But when the autopilot turns off, it is a very scary moment. It is very overwhelming because that's what I went through. And when I went through this, I was going through this alone. I had no one to talk about this with, you know, my process. And I believe it was for a bigger purpose. I understand it now because now I can give this experience and talk about it that I was supposed to write this book and help people understand it. But, and in the meantime, because there's different there's layers you have to go through and there's different pieces to it. And all of us go through it differently. We all go through it for different times, for lengths, and also for intensity. And so while some of the beginning part, you know, some people that overwhelming state where nothing makes sense and you're trying to weed through it all, some people may go through that just for a short period of time, and other people, it could be a really long process. But a full awakening is a lifelong journey. It is not something that just happens and ends within a month. It is a lifelong journey because now you're being open, like your mind has expanded. Everything is open and it's now new perspectives. It's finding out and releasing your false beliefs. It's finding your truths. It is, again, having that self-awareness now because it triggers all of your past trauma and it brings it up because 99% of my clients who come to me are either all going through an awakening or just starting their awakening or already awakened. And that's when a lot of people feel open enough to, you know, talk to someone like me because my mediumship is just a tool within my toolbox. You know, I'm intuitive, but again, my sessions are like backwards therapy. Okay. It's kind of like what you were describing with the other gentleman. My clients don't talk. I sit there and it is like, I'm not a licensed therapist. Let me put that disclaimer. Okay, there we go. Because I said the word therapy, I'm going to put that there. I'm not licensed. But I am tapping in and I'm bringing up all those pieces that maybe even my client wasn't fully aware of. And it's validating. I'm like, hey, this is what's going on. I can feel that you're going through this in the moment, or this is what's going on. And then I'm taking, you know, other sides and I'm taking the bigger perspective and allowing all information to come through without limits. And then it's putting it together and leaving my client with guidance. Okay, you're going through this and there's this big trauma going on. And not only are we talking about it, how do we work through it? And what are the meanings behind it? How do we channel that pain? What do we do with it? And then I give them homework. I know, no one likes that, but this
homework.
Is it.
I love it. I wish I had homework back in the day with
Right. Well, and that's not just like with the awakening, but so I have a whole workshop. I have a whole 6-week series workshop I do on awakenings. It's been on hold while I have been working on my big retreat, but it's this long process and it's understanding then and going in. And we have to usually one of the biggest triggers for people that come up is religion. You know, if you were brought up in a very religious household, how do we make sense of what's happening and what you're going through? Because this is usually during the awakening experience too, that your sensitivities are now skyrocketing and turned up to 150%. Because before you may have thought you were an empath, but let me tell you, during awakening, it's like that hurts. Everything goes up really high. And I'm sorry if that hurt your ears, but I did it on purpose for that point where, you become that sensitive and it's like, oh, but it's again, you become sensitive in that moment to understand it. Everything's coming up for you to take a look and to understand it. And there is a way out of it. Some people are able to do it on their own. That's what I did. I did it on my own and I had to learn all of these pieces. I am self-taught in my mediumship and understanding my intuition. And again, a lot of these processes, I did get a certification to really go further and understanding what that healing looks like on this other side without the limits. And it was fantastic. I did the work for myself. That was healing for myself. And it was fantastic. But please know, thank you for starting that piece right there, Nadine. Apparently, yes, because there is this bigger purpose. And I do want people to know that you're not alone and you are not crazy. It is all a piece of what's happening for you, not to you. And it's just understanding that. So in case you were interested or you want to learn more about that, just know you don't have to go and make a one-on-one appointment with me and spend all your money. But for those of you, again, it's on my podcast and that's a free access that will always, always, always be free. I will never, ever, ever, ever charge for anybody to listen to the podcast and that information. But my season 2 is all about it. So it helps people on their journey.
That is so cool. Yeah, I want to listen to it too, because I definitely have a long story about my awakening. So, and it's very eye-opening.
Uh-huh.
Very eye-opening. I wanted to write a book on it. So I actually talked to a ghostwriter a few years ago and I told him the whole story and he was like, I was like, seriously, so I'm going to have to write it. Yeah, there was just too many pieces to the pie about how I became awakened. So,
By the way, I love that you brought it up without actually saying it too, that awakenings are usually triggered by a big, sometimes by trauma or by a big piece that's happening in our life because we go through moments. So mine personally, because I talk about it on my podcast too, mine personally wasn't like a massive trauma, but it definitely, I had just had my second daughter. I thought I was having postpartum depression. It was really, I was getting really low, really sad. I mean, I remember my husband being really worried about me. I saw therapists. I saw my first psychic. And even then I hadn't, because it was after, during my awakening process that I finally understood and realized, again, these capabilities of mine. But before that, I kind of, I didn't take them seriously. I was always intrigued by it, but it was always that fear of, are they just messing with me? Or are they just giving me general information? But it was all a part of that process. And I remember the first psychic I went to, she told me, it was part of the first reading. She goes, and she just, looking at cards, she was doing the tarot cards, and she looked down and she looked up at me. She looked down. She's like, you're going to be doing what I do one day. And I just remember going, no, no, no. What? No. But it was a piece in that journey that kind of helped me along my path. And I needed to have those experiences. So, and that's the thing about, I guess, the trauma and our experiences and everything else. There's a reason behind it all. There's a reason behind it all.
You are able to do that in my photography. Woo-hoo, am I able to get spirits through my photography?
I bet.
Yes, I had one gentleman's face. But it's a whole other man's face with his face. And I was like, where we were, it could have been a tragedy in there. I don't know. I don't want to know. And then when my grandmother passed, I took a picture of my dad on the couch. He wasn't feeling too good that Christmas, but you can see my grandma's face coming out of my dad's face. So I had a talk with him. You've got to release her. You know, you're holding her back from moving forward to the light. So I had to have a talk like that. I've had many other things show up in my pictures that there was somebody in California. She was intrigued. She wanted to see all of them and stuff. And the park I usually go and hang out, there is one tree there and I call it the spiritual bloom, but it's really cool shapes and it just has a lot of history to it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's different. It may not show up. I mean, as, you know, hearing somebody say this, I mean, has it happened before to me? Yes, once or twice. I was trying to see if I had that as a gift. And I just, you know, it's something I was like, I'm not going to focus on. But for my photography, it comes through. And I remember I would sit there and play with the different colors and go, am I seeing this right? You know, it's just like, okay, stop playing, just edit the picture. And if it was a picture that was too disturbing, of course, my client doesn't get it. You know, I don't want them to go, what is this? You know, oh, this is your ghost friend.
Right.
You know? So, but definitely. Well, my gosh, we've had a great long talk.
I know. We can probably keep going. I know I probably could.
I wish I could. I wish I could. I'm going to have to bring you on a second time, girly. But definitely, as far as social media, you gave your podcast. Do you have a website also you wanted to share?
Website is abouthealingmedium.com.
Okay.
And then again, the podcast is About Healing Podcast. But cool. I keep my handles all the same other than the podcast because you can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram. I started small on TikTok. I love TikTok, girl. Oh my gosh. I'm not in the video. Even my podcast is straight audio right now. We're going to get on YouTube at one point. We're getting there.
My sponsors wanted me on YouTube. So I have my first season strictly audio. And so with the sponsors saying, we want you on video, I did it. I'm used to it. Zoom gives you a nice little filter to look prettier, I guess. And it really blocks out the noise good. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I got this, you know, this is going to be interesting. But you mentioned we're our own worst critic. Yes, I will not watch me on TV. I will make fun of me like, no, you know, I told my neurologist, because I think I had a couple TIAs. I go, my mouth feels crooked down here. I can see it right now. And then one eye will be smaller than the other, especially when I'm interviewing people and notice it. And I remember my doctor, you're your own worst critic. And I'm like, show my boyfriend. But I see it. Why can't other people see it?
I see it. I didn't see any of that. So because you're looking so deeply in it, and I think you are bright and you are beautiful. And I don't think there's anything that you should be shy away from. And I believe that's also a process of it's part of our healing process. Are you able to look at yourself and can you see yourself with kindness? And actually in one episode I talked about it, how do we start working on that? And there is a process to start doing that, but it's slow. You have to start your train of thought. You have to start working on those thoughts and go from there. But I mean, Nadine, this has been a joy. Oh, and I think I forgot to mention my social handle is all at About Healing Medium, just FYI. I will mention here, it's the first, I get to mention that now, only because it's about to happen. I'm going to start announcing it, is I am actually starting to go through a massive, huge rebranding. And so everything's about to change, but for now, everything you can find me on there, and there will be references on where to go next and what it's
okay, good. And I'll keep that posted too as you make the change. And when you do make the change, let's bring you in for another podcast and announce it to the world. We can have a fun coffee talk or whatever.
Sounds amazing. I love it.
Yeah, and definitely. I know I asked you about a book and you mentioned that you are starting one. Woo!
It's been in the process for a little while. And so when I started writing the book, I wound up turning what I had started into a workshop. So that's what's available so far. But I know that I needed the workshop and I needed more, again, that background and hearing everyone's stories to finish my book. So if you're interested and you want to do that and be a part of that, you know, well, I'll have one probably going in a few weeks soon. There will be new information going up soon about when the next workshop will be. So
awesome. Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on Keep Hope Alive. And just really quick, guys, remember, if you have any questions for Sheree, you can give us a call at 833-780-HOPE, which is 4673. And I will send those questions her way and we'll get those answered for you. So also, I would like to, we have other sponsors here, so that keep hope afloat. So, as I mentioned, lifeonrecord.com, your interactive guest book. So your guests can pick up this vintage rotary phone and leave you a message. They get either burned into that record or a keepsake speaker. So find them at www.lifeonrecord.com. Snap Bands was our next one, and you've probably seen these on Facebook. So their website is www.snapbands.com. It is the bracelet with the elastic band that when you give it a tug, it will send a sensation that will go through. And using their mantra words, you change the way you think. It helps with anxiety, OCD. I'm going to throw PTSD in there too. And they have so many different colors, mantra words like dream, fearless, hope, love, and faith. Just remember, if you want a faith one, their promo code is KHA for Keep Hope Alive. Our next sponsor is Ogden Ventures, LLC. Mr. Marcus Ogden is a former NFL player. He is best-selling author and has his own podcast too. So I want you to check him out. And I'm going to spell his name out too when I get this website. So it's www. Marcus is MARQUES, Ogden, OGDEN.com. Our next one is Bridal Shows Inc., Miss Naomi Butler. She's been doing these bridal shows for so many years in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, bringing the best vendors around for you to go meet, see what they showcase, and watch the beautiful fashion show they had. I was just there in January, and all these black wedding gowns are out. And I'm just like, well, I'm old school, being 46. I'm like, black wedding gowns. I got to get used to that now. So I've done a couple weddings. I remember one. It was a black with white polka dot dress with red roses. And it was the cutest as a wedding gown. That's what she wanted to wear. Really, that's yes. What it's about, right? What you want to wear yes. And what makes you you. So check them out at bridalshowsinc.com. Next is milesandsmilesevents.com. Miss Deborah Rose, her background is investigation, but she does events here in the Dallas area, and she does travel as well. But she does handwriting analysis and lipstick reading, and she is 100% accurate. I could just sit there and watch her all day. I had experience. He came to my old job and got all of us workers there and was right down to the queue. I seen her at an open house and an event, and she's amazing. So check out her work. Next, I got Bryce Harney at www.brycemagic.com. He is a magician and mind mentalist. You might have seen him on TV, different news stations last year, but he does big corporate events and he does church events. He can do the magic shows. He is a mind mentalist too. I tell everybody go to his website or look him up on YouTube and watch his work. It's amazing. Our next one is RichmondPunch.net. Richmond graduated from the Juilliard's top honors. He is a violinist in the industry for over 30 years. And yes, he does travel. So he has performed in front of a million people before and also had two spots on Lifetime shows to be the background violinist. He is on tour. He goes usually to Georgia, to Dallas a lot. He's moving back home to Dallas, Texas, and we're ready to rock and roll. So our next one is tkhairsalon.com. If you are in Texas, of course, and you need a good old haircut for men, women, children, they do it. They do perms, highlights, full color, get the grays out. I have my grays coming in. So, tell me I have to get back facial stuff. So check out, they are the friendliest hair salon in town for Plano. But once again, wherever you guys find your podcast, you will be able to find Keep Hope Alive. We are always looking for new guests. So on our website, fill out that guest intake form. We would love to hear from you. I have a new thing. It's leave a message. Maybe there's something you want to hear about on a podcast. We are open to ideas. So we would love to hear from you on that as well. And once again, Cherie, thank you. It's been so much fun talking to you. And I love how we were going back and forth mm-hmm. and asking each other questions. I loved it. So
I did too. Thank you. I am honored to have been on here too. So, and I feel like I made a new friend. This has been fantastic.
You definitely did. I'm bringing you back no matter what. So, well, guys, until our next show, love and light. We'll see you next time.